Well, officially, good morning. So this morning, my sermon is entitled Raising a Hallelujah. So I am so glad that you are here as we have been raising a hallelujah this morning. I just want to give you a forewarning that this is going to be a message where we participate, okay? So we're going to have different moments where we're able to express ourselves this morning. So growing up in church, I grew up United Methodist all my life. And I had friends when I was growing up that were Lutheran, Baptist, Catholic, and people didn't church hop back then. You just kind of knew what church your friend belonged to, so to speak. And we didn't have non-denominational churches back then. And the church that I grew up in was older, and it was quite large in its structure, and it had a small chapel and a very large sanctuary with beautiful stained glass windows and beautiful woodwork. And on Sundays, as a child, it was just something that we did, was to go to church. And I'll just confess to you, it was not particularly exciting, right? Not particularly exciting as a child growing up. And I have a memory that has stuck with me ever since I was a kid. And again, this is an older church, and the pastor was preaching up in the pulpit, and behind him was an area where the associate pastor would sit every Sunday morning up on the altar. And it was a very formal and very reverent service, but apparently I was not the only one who thought it was not very exciting because the associate pastor had fallen asleep in front of God and everybody. So we're aiming for no one to fall asleep today, right? Okay. So today we're gonna dive into worship and this idea of raising a hallelujah as we come to worship the risen Christ, fully awake and fully attentive. We typically walk into this building on Sunday morning with other things on our mind. Right? We live in a world of distraction. And I remember when my kids were little, it was such a challenge to get three little ones out the door and to get here. And so much had happened by the time that I got here that I needed church. Anybody else, you need church by the time you get here? And it was hard to be present. Sometimes it's hard to be present because we're thinking of where we've come from this morning and maybe where we're headed to next. But when we walk through these doors, we have the opportunity to connect with God. But we have to prepare ourselves spiritually and mentally to be present in this moment of worship. I'd like to share Psalm 86, 9 through 10 with you. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. I want to draw your attention. Some of you may be familiar with this in your hymnal. But in the front of our hymnals, I'd like to share just a few things. It's directions for singing. You might enjoy some of these. And again, I just want to highlight a couple of these as we set the context for our message today. The fourth one is, and I'm on 7 in the very beginning of the Roman numerals. And again, I just want to highlight a couple of these. So the fourth one says, sing lustily and with good courage. Be aware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. I like the next one as well. Sing modestly. Do not bawl so that as to be heard above or distinct from the rest of the congregation, that you may not destroy the harmony, but strive to unite your voices together so that they make one clear, melodious sound. And then the next one, sing in time. Whatever time is sung, be sure to keep with it. Do not run before nor stay behind, but attend close to the leading voices and move therewith as exactly as you can, and take care not to sing too low. All right, we've heard it. Don't sing too low. And I love the very last one. Above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing him more than yourself or any other creature. Psalm 104:33 tells us, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to God as long as I live. Music affects our posture. And my iPod, my iPhone, whatever you want to call my music device, has a range of music, which I'm sure most of yours does too. I'm going to confess to you, I'm an 80s hair bands girl, right? I love some Van Halen and some AC. I'm just going to, oh, it's time of confession, isn't it? AC/DC and some Van Halen, all that kind of good stuff. But then I've also got Christian music on there. And just a range. And what I find is that music, it affects our posture. And we're going to have some fun this morning. I hope you're okay. We're going to have some fun. So I just want to give you some examples of how music affects our posture. Jeff's going to play for us this morning. He's DJ Jeff back here, by the way, if we can. Yep. DJ Jeff back here. We should call him DJ Jazzy Jeff. How about that? So we're going to start out this morning with Pharrell, right? And just some how it makes us feel when we hear this music. Our DJ is going to cue it up. And we can snap. It's okay. See, Amy's got it out here. All right. Sharon's got it in the back. It affects our posture, right? Makes us want to move certain ways. Our movement, our shoulders. Oh, Jeff's got it. Look, I wish y'all could turn and see him. He likes his job back there. All right, we're having a good time, aren't we? We're going to transition to the next one. All right. So, how many country fans do we have out here? We've got some. So we're going to go old school with our country. How about some Alabama? All right, I think we like some Alabama. Kind of makes you want to slap your legs, doesn't it? And clap.
Like grandma and grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
Now we're going to transition. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Chris Tomlin, but he is a very popular Christian artist all over the radio, tours around the country and the world, and just a profound Christian artist. And we're going to hear a little bit of his song as we gather again this morning and change our posture as we worship.
'Twas grace that taught
my heart. I don't know about you, but it's a mindset. What we do with our hands and our bodies
and
as
grace,
we receive.
My fears really, how precious did that grace appear? The hour I first believed, my chains are gone. I've been saved.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. There is a Christian comedian, and his name is Tim Hawkins, and I shared a little bit about Tim, probably 2 years ago over in the Contemporary Service, and wanted to share with you over here just a little bit of his comedy. And he talks about worship signals in worship. And it kind of talks about what we've been going through this morning, right? When we hear different tunes, when we hear different music, it makes us do different things, right? And so he pretty much gears us towards the contemporary setting. And I will just tell you, I am all of these things. So as I share these with you, I embody all of these. So it's these worship signals. And he talks about the rookie with worship signals when we worship. And the rookie's got their hands in their pocket, right? And then all of a sudden it comes out, and it's like they're carrying a TV. Right? Carrying a TV. And then you've got the medium worship signal where the hands are out and the fish is this big, right? The fish is this big. And then we've got the pro. We've got the pro. The elbows are bent, the goalpost, or changing a light, right? We've got that kind of worship signal. And then you've got the expert person that knows how to have all the body and hand movements. It's the expert. It's the village people. It's Rocky. It's the touchdown, right? It's the touchdown. And you will see me many times in all of these different modes. But you know that the truth is that we all don't worship with our hands. For some, it's more internal than external. And it's all good. Just because someone has the posture of the village people doesn't mean that they love Jesus anymore, right? We all have a different posture. I want to share a verse with you from Philippians, and Scott set this up for us. If you want to turn in your Bibles, it's Philippians. I am in the second chapter, starting at the 9th verse to the 11th verse again. So it's Philippians. In the New Testament, 2nd chapter, verse 9 through 11. I encourage you to read the words that you will find in your pew Bible, as well as listen to them as you hear these words. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what's in a name? Jesus is the name above every name. Every knee shall bow. So who or what do we bow to? I love to watch sports. And many of you may be like me. I love pro football, basketball, baseball. And our country has been in hot debate over the national anthem that has been fueled by Colin Kaepernick. And last year, Colin Kaepernick was named the face of Nike. And I thought that Nike would experience a great backlash for this move, and that their business would suffer by having him as a spokesperson. But instead, consumers ran to the stores and online, and that company saw a 10% increase in sales. The ad ran with Kaepernick's face with this motto: "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." You see, we have a God who sacrificed everything, who gave his son, that sacrificed his life for us. Therefore, God has exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word praise in Hebrew has different meanings. Todah means confession, praise, thanksgiving. It's an attitude. Praise, it's an attitude. And then it also means shaha, which is our posture, to bow down. And then another meaning for praise is hallel. It means to shine and to praise and to boast, to hallelujah, right? To raise a hallelujah. May our worship embody praise through our confession and our thanksgiving, our todah, with a posture that bows before him, shaha, and an attitude of hallelujah, hallel. So how was worship, right? It's a lot of times when we go home and there may not be a family member that came with us, or we're having a conversation with a friend. How was worship? How was worship? And at times we go into critique mode, don't we? Oh, the sermon was okay. Oh, except for today. We listened to Alabama and Pharrell, right? But the sermon was okay. And maybe if we sung some hymns, oh, but you know, I didn't know the hymns. And it becomes about us. It becomes about us, but it's not about us. It's about worshiping God. And our challenge is to be present in the mindset of Todah, through confession and praise and thanksgiving before God. And our new question becomes, how was your worship? How was your worship? It's very different. How did God speak to you? How did you worship him? Presence through the mind, body, and spirit. As John Wesley told us, and we find these words in the hymnal, in these instructions for singing, have an eye to God in every word you sing. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this time, and we are reminded of the beautiful anthem that the choir sang, that we need you every hour, not just this hour on Sunday. So we thank you that you meet us here. God, and I pray that this is just not the only time where we worship you, that we continue to worship you throughout our week. We thank you and we love you, and we thank you for meeting us here. We pray these things in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.